Welcome to the Frenemies Podcast, where four friends debate the latest issues in all sports and have a fun time doing it. High-heated arguments, crazy takes, and passionate opinions is what fills every pack-filled episode. Frenemies is available on all podcast platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Breaker, CastBox, and others. Welcome to episode 34 of the Frenemies Podcast. Today we're going back to the NFL. Had a crazy offseason, barely started. We had a couple big trades go down, a suspension. Carter, where do you want to get us started off with? What do you want to talk about first?
I guess the Russell Wilson trade, probably one of the biggest trades in NFL history. If you don't follow our TikTok, you should do so, Frenemies Pod. But we made a TikTok about this. Who do you guys think won the trade?
I'll start. I think the Seahawks, I don't even think they won. I think they fleeced them. I like Russell Wilson, but he's also in the back half of his career, and they only gave up Russell Wilson. And not to mention with Russell Wilson last year, yeah, he didn't play the entire season, but they were fourth place in the NFC West. They just added Drew Lock, who I'm not a big fan of. Drew Lock is going to be a placeholder until they get their next quarterback. But they added Noah Fant, who is without a doubt a top 10 tight end in the NFL. And then they added Shelby Harris, who is a decent inside defensive lineman. And then two first-round picks this year and next year. And I believe one of their first-round picks I'm pretty sure one of them is the ninth pick or the 11th pick in the draft.
I think it's top 10. It's around 10.
And if Russell Wilson isn't the Russell Wilson of old, you're going to get another probably like a lottery first-round pick next year. Because let's keep in mind, the Broncos are playing in a division with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. Right? So the Seahawks it wasn't working with Russell Wilson. I'm assuming they got rid of his salary with that trade, and you add in a young quarterback who can be a decent placeholder, and now he's got, like, big veteran weapons. Like, I like Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, Cortland Sutton, but none of them are veteran receivers. You go to Seattle, DK Metcalf is still young, but he's one of the best receivers in the NFL, and Tyler Lockett, arguably one of the better veterans in the NFL.
Joe Everett, veteran.
And then you add Noah Fant to that tight end core. Noah Fant is one of the best tight ends in the NFL. So I thought the Broncos, that is the best haul I think they could have got for Russell Wilson. I thought it was a phenomenal job by the Seahawks.
I think the Seahawks won the trade. Not as bad as you do. I don't think it was a fleecing by any means, because if Russ goes out and wins a Super Bowl, there's no doubt in my mind the Broncos easily won the trade.
Oh, I completely agree. But do you think they can in the division with Mahomes and Herbert?
I would need to see a healthy Russell Wilson. I need to see a couple weeks of Russell Wilson before I can make that determination, but I think you could argue them as favorites. You could argue the Broncos as a Super Bowl favorite.
What?
They have a loaded defense, a great receiving core. All everyone was saying was they were missing a quarterback.
And not to
that's all everyone was saying was they were missing a quarterback.
If you follow Von Miller on Instagram, he's teasing a Broncos reunion. Could you imagine
that.
They add Von Miller back? Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. Who else they got? They got Justin Simmons
Sartain,
in their secondary, Patrick Pat Sartain. Pat Sartain's probably the best rookie cornerback in that draft class, too. Him or Greg Newsome.
Yeah,
that's an unbelievable team Denver's got.
Yep.
If they can pull it out. But then again,
so I see why Denver did it, but they gave up a
hole. You think they're the favorites?
And not to mention Javonte Williams too, and Melvin Gordon. I mean, they were a phenomenal 1-2 punch.
Yeah, it looks like Melvin. It looks like Melvin Gordon's going to leave, and it's going to be Javonte Williams is finally going to be the number one back in Denver.
And he was real good.
He was phenomenal.
Uh huh. Justin Simmons too. Sorry about
so
him.
They're the favorites now. This makes them the favorites.
You can argue. No, I didn't say that, but you can argue. I think you can argue that the Broncos could be a potential Super Bowl favorite.
You can argue they're the best team in their division.
No, you can't.
No, I don't think you can't argue that. There's no way you're taking the Chargers over the Broncos. There's just no way.
The Chiefs.
I know he said third best. You can easily take the Chiefs over the Broncos. There's no way you can take.
I would say the third best team.
You think the Chargers are better than the Denver Broncos?
Russell Wilson plays the way he did last year, yes.
No way.
If I had to choose a quarterback between Herbert and Russell Wilson right now for going the next year, I would take Justin Herbert.
I would too.
Broncos also have a new head. Broncos have a new head coach, so we have no idea how he's
going to
work.
So you're going to take the beta, Brandon Staley. He's not a beta. No, we actually had a whole episode. I'm talking about.
Do we know? Is Nathaniel Hackett could be a beta too?
No, did you see the videos that came out about the Broncos posted about Nathaniel Hackett? He is like, I don't know. He's like the Mike McDaniels, right? The new Dolphins head coach. Nathaniel Hackett's one of those, like, you can just tell he's a player coach. You got to watch the videos of him, but, like, you can just tell players are going to revolve around him.
Okay, Jackson, you can't say that just by the couple of interviews you saw where he's witty.
No, the way he described his, like, play calling and, like, the plays he was drawing up, there's a video. I'll send it to you guys later.
Hugh Jackson also said we have to watch the tape more.
Okay.
And obviously that.
No, it wasn't. So. Okay, I'll put it out on the Frenemies Instagram.
I don't mind you guys arguing Chargers are better than Denver, but if I had to choose, I think I'd take Denver. I'm still taking Chiefs at one, obviously.
And that's just their division. So let's say they do finish second. You still have
– they're better than the Bills.
Bills. Bengals. Mm-hmm. With the Browns.
No, they're probably not better than the Bills.
Let's just say someone out of the AFC North will be great that year, which is usually how it is.
Yeah. There's always a good AFC.
So they have to deal with at least one
AFC North team.
Won't be the Browns with Baker Mayfield as quarterback, so.
Correct.
You can just flush that dream down the toilet.
Ravens. I think Ravens will get back on track. Steelers won't be good, even though.
Patriots.
Patriots, yeah. Can't even say. I don't know. I was going to say Steelers won't be good, but they have Tomlin.
And they always find a way to finish 500 or higher. Yeah. Let me ask you another question about Seattle real quick. What do you think their plan is moving forward? Because they got.
Pete Carroll's gone.
Well, that could be it, but. Really?
I don't see.
I think they're going to rebuild.
If they're rebuilding, why would Pete stay?
I don't think. I'm not necessarily convinced they are rebuilding. If they're going to add a top 10 tight end, a really good defensive lineman in Shelby Harris, and the two firsts and the two seconds. Because hear me out. What if they go quarterback? What if they go like Malik Willis in the draft?
I was just going to say that tells me they're really high on someone in the draft and they're willing to trade up.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. They have to really
maybe not. When I say like rebuilding, I'm not saying like they're just going to tear everything down. Like kind of just.
We'll take a couple years. Restart. It'll be a couple years. Probably.
Yeah, a couple of years that Pete just. I don't think he has. I think Pete has. Even if with Russ, even if Russ stayed, he probably maybe had 1 or 2
maybe.
Years.
Yeah, maybe.
So I think with Russ gone, someone he was attached to.
Some new guy.
He's going to whole new system. I don't understand. So you have the optimism of this new quarterback that could do well in Seattle. But if Russell didn't make it work in Seattle, how do you expect this other guy to work with this if the coaching does not change?
That's not fair, though, because Russ was injured a pretty decent amount of last year. Yes, he wasn't great when he was on the field. I understand that. But he was extremely – I mean, he couldn't stay healthy.
The past 2-3 years, like that passing game's never been what it should be with two elite receivers. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to downgrade a quarterback.
When Russell Wilson's been playing well, they weren't going to make it out of the second round.
Yeah, probably.
So I just don't see the Broncos winning, which tells me Seattle won this. And if I'm Seattle, I'm looking to trade Tyler Lockett, too.
Yeah, I heard that report. If they're trading Lockett, then I think they're going to slowly start trading pieces.
And speaking of one of the teams, I saw this today, and I agree with it. If I'm New England, Tyler Lockett is a player I'm calling for.
Lockett doesn't feel like a Belichick player. I don't know why.
No, he doesn't.
I have no like. I know,
neither did Randy Moss.
I had no reason behind that, but
they need a deep threat. They do.
They do.
And Tyler Lockett does one thing very, very well, and that's stretch the field.
Yeah.
Is it weird to say that I don't like this trade for like either team?
Why?
I don't like. I think Russell Wilson could have gone. Like, I don't like they went to Denver. I think his final like he has probably. 3-4 years of trying to stay on that upper echelon elite thing. And when I look, he's already going to a loaded AFC team, and he's going with a bunch of unproven people in Denver with a new head coach. I would have loved to see him in like a veteran spot where he can just take over the reins and just like take him over the hump.
Tampa.
I would have loved to see
that'd
him in Tampa.
That'd be interesting.
And he would have stayed in a weaker NFC. Yes. I would have loved to see him there.
What do you guys think Tampa Bay's next quarterback is? Because there was some speculation that it could be Aaron Rodgers, but he just signed the massive extension in Green Bay.
Supposedly.
Like there's no way Tampa's – because Tampa just re-signed Chris Godwin and they franchise-tagged him. Mike Evans is still under contract. There's no way you're throwing Kyle Trask out there with that roster. And they still have a great defense.
Yeah, no, they know that they have – and they signed all these guys with Tom, like – the previous offseason. So I think they know they have 1 to 2 years to try to get everything possible out of the roster they construct around Tom, and then it's going to be just rebuild for the next.
I can see them trading for like a Jimmy G, Derek Carr type of player.
I think they only need a top 15 quarterback to win.
Yeah.
They need a Joe Flacco. If they get a Joe Flacco, they legit have a chance to win. Not like Joe Flacco now, but like prime Joe Flacco.
Just look at Jimmy.
Like this team.
Jimmy G would be a nice fit. Yeah,
that's what I meant. This team reminds Tannehill. Me. That reminds me of the Ravens team that won it. An elite defense, a solid running game, and like just.
All right, yeah, so where just, do you? Just because someone mentioned Derek Carr, Derek Carr has to get the hell out of the AFC. With that conference now, he just needs to get. He needs to go.
Yeah. Where do you guys think Jimmy Garoppolo ends up? Because it looks like John Lynch is ready to move on and give the franchise to Trey Lance.
Honest to God, if I were a betting man, I would say Tampa. It makes the most sense, I feel like.
I don't understand why they're moving on from Jimmy G, though.
I don't either. He wins games. He's gotten you in a Super Bowl. He's gotten you a game away from a Super Bowl.
You have to.
I just didn't like the trade-up for Trey Lance.
What? Okay, last year, think about the San Francisco team last year that lost in the NFC Championship game. What was holding them back? What was the one piece they needed?
Quarterback is there would have been their biggest need, yes.
But that team is so loaded that.
But I don't think
it's weird. It's weird to hand over the reins.
But like you know what Jimmy G's, you know his ceiling, you know what exactly he's going to give you, and for you to win a Super Bowl with Jimmy G, you know everything kind of has to go perfect. You can't. You need great injury luck. You have great matchups, and you got to be able to like.
Yeah, I was gonna say I didn't mind them trading up for Lance at all.
It's just a risk of a downgrade, though. What if Trey Lance is a bust?
Yeah, also like
at least at least you know.
But it's also weird though.
Mediocrity at quarterback.
It's also weird though that Jimmy G's like last fully healthy season he was in the Super Bowl, and then last year he was fully healthy. Actually, he wasn't even fully healthy. He was, majority healthy, and he made it to the NFC Championship game. And then you're just gonna. Like, how often do you see that a team make the NFC Championship and then you switch quarterbacks? Like, you never see that.
I know. It was so dependent on great coaching, great scheme, great defense, and Debo a great running Samuel. Game. And Debo Samuel's single-handedly carrying the offense.
But, I mean, because Kyle Shanahan, he's going to have to switch his system with Trey Lance because Trey Lance is the same thrower of the football Garoppolo is.
I think Shanahan's looking forward to being able to do different things because with Garoppolo, is it very so they were only able to do certain things.
Yeah, I guess. I want to move into the Kelvin Ridley situation.
We gotta talk about that.
I'd love to as well. Roger Goodell is the worst commissioner of all time.
No.
Well, hold on. He was. He pisses me off. And then this MLB guy right here.
Yeah, Rob Manfred.
He just went and just jumped him.
Here's real quickly.
It's Rob and the owners.
I hate Roger Goodell. I hate him. But at the same time, you got to look at this. The NFL is the king of just television right now. They get better ratings than anything.
But this year. Could also have like a chimpanzee run it. People would still watch it. It's not like Roger's doing these.
I know. And that's fine. But then with Rob Manfred, every single year with the MLB, there's the threatening of a lockout. And then this year it actually happened. The first 2 weeks of the season have already been canceled. And this is like normal.
But is that completely on Rob? I think it's also owners. The owners are also –
No, the big part is Rob Manfred. Because Rob Manfred doesn't know how to manage the MLB, and he doesn't know how to manage the owners and the players. At least with Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell could at least put his foot down and kind of act like a dictator, which I think Roger Goodell somewhat is a dictator. But he would at least get the season out.
I still
hate Roger Goodell, though.
I don't understand
how a player who isn't playing in a game is getting fined for tampering.
Not tampering.
Bet. Tampering with the game.
Who did he bet on?
He bet on the Falcons to win in a parlay. He bet three parlays, a three-legged, a five-legged, and an eight-legged parlay.
Okay.
Well, one of which included the Falcons to win.
But it's classified as tampering because they don't want the players betting on because the players can go out. Kelvin Ridley, who's a very good player when he plays, could go out and suck. And that's tampering with the game. So that's basically what it is. But he wasn't on the field or even a part of the team for the last.
Then tell me, why is Shula Show Jackson not in the Hall of Fame?
Well, first off.
That's different.
How?
He bet
on his team to win.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Or no. Who am I thinking
Pete
of?
Pete Rose.
Pete Rose. Pete Rose. That's what I'm thinking of.
But Pete Rose was playing.
No, he wasn't. Pete Rose bet when he was a manager.
Correct.
Pete Rose was the manager.
I'm sorry, not Shoeless Joe. That's what I'm thinking of.
Pete Rose was the manager, and he bet on his team to win. He never once bet on his team to win.
And he's out of the Hall of Fame.
And he is the hit king. And
Was he ever playing?
No.
I know some of you think – do you think Ridley should have been – suspended at all?
So here's.
I think the fact that he bet on his own team does present some circumstances which aren't great. So I think he should have suspended 2 to 4 games.
And let's talk about that too. The NFL and their suspensions are ridiculous. Like you have players like Ray Rice, for example, 2-game suspension. for beating a woman in an elevator. And then Calvin Ridley bet $1,500 on his team to win that he wasn't playing in.
He was hurt, right?
Yes.
Well, he had mental health.
Yeah.
$1,500 on a game he wasn't playing in on the team he was a part of to win, suspended the entire season. And then same, Kareem Hunt, the fight scene, 8 games. What other?
What do you do in that circumstance? Because Manfred, or maybe it wasn't Manfred, whoever the GM at the time was, kept Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame. I mean, Manfred kept Rose out of the Hall of Fame because he bet on his team to win.
Yes.
It's questioning, I mean, you can argue not, but the reason is it's questioning the integrity of the sport.
Right, but it's also betting on your team to win. You're not trying to throw the game. Because the big thing,
though, but still.
Yeah, Pete Rose is. Yeah, involved with the team and directly in the game.
So is Calvin Ridley.
No, Calvin Ridley was on his couch rooting for his team by placing a bet on them.
Hunter, Pete Rose wasn't the general manager.
I was under the impression that Ridley was either injured or he was actually involved in the game.
No, he was at home.
If he had his couch, honestly, one to two games. I see nothing wrong. How does that at all affect the gameplay?
It doesn't.
And I guess with the image is more of the 1 to 2 games because it makes the NFL look bad. And is Calvin Ridley dumb for doing this? Yes, but like at the same time, is he really affecting the game?
Well, I think it should have been half season. I think it should have been 8 games.
No, it shouldn't have been though, because with the NFL, it's such a pathetic look that you're gonna a guy bet $1,500 and you're gonna cheat him out of $11 million. I understand the integrity of the game. If he was playing and bet, different story. But he was at home on his couch, only bet $1,500 on his team to win on top of that. And you give him the entire season and you don't let him get any of his salary. Meanwhile, I mean, players have literally committed domestic violence and assault and get 2 games. It's a bad look for the league.
I hate Goodell because there's no precedent. There's no specific
rules. Yeah, just whatever he feels on that day.
Josh Gordon. Granted,
how is he allowed to be reinstated like 8 times? What are the rules for that?
It's the no fun league and it's the no rule league.
Like
it's
the secretaries in the NFL office know Josh Gordon's like by name, know his girlfriend, know his life. They know everything about him because he's there constantly.
That Jerry brings up a good point. I don't understand how they're so strict, taunting penalties and so like that makes me mad. To me, that's part of the game. Like there's a line, but like. Waving your hands incomplete, a team dance, is that really as egregious?
I generally think, too, like, talking crap and, like, getting up in a player's face, like, that's just competitiveness. And that's what fans want to see. That will bring in, like, as much as maybe at the time is you not necessarily a good look. I'm telling you, fans will want to see that. Like, not like fights. I'm not, like, saying that at all, but I'm saying, like, little trash talking.
Yeah,
if
it gets out of hand, you throw a penalty.
Yeah, exactly. But like getting in a player's face or clapping in his face, like there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. Like it's just that's competitiveness in sports that they're just completely taking away. I mean, you can hardly do anything after you have a good play. Players work their whole lives to get where they're at, and they're getting these BS calls that are just really bad.
I mean, even as fans, probably a little too much. It's a little too much emotionally invested sometimes. Now, if we were playing in those games, the amount of adrenaline, I mean, it's probably a little bit more natural for them since they've done it for a little longer at the high level. But you're playing in front of millions in some cases every week. I don't know. I just think that the entire rule book in general just needs to be examined.
Because we don't even know, like same rule, we don't even know what a catch is in the NFL anymore because they've completely redefined what a catch is.
Right, just across the board. It needs to just be it's just terrible. I don't know. It makes me mad, honestly.
No, it's a lack of leadership, clearly shown by Roger.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
None of the owners respect him.
No.
The players definitely don't respect him.
Absolutely.
Because he has no feeling for the game. Like, no feeling what it actually is to be a football player. So he doesn't know, like, what they're feeling, what they're going through, and, like, what it is to play in a competitive NFL game. So he doesn't know how to like be a commissioner.
I mean, to be fair, his job is to bring the most money possible, which he is doing. But it can get to the point where like the worst thing that can happen in the NFL would be if players go on strike because of Goodell. You know what I mean? Like, yes, you have to maximize profit and get the most amount of money you can. But you have to find the fine line where it's not enough to jeopardize players leaving the game.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, Roger Goodell, he doesn't care about an 18-game regular season. He only added that for more revenue. He doesn't care about one team getting a bye in the playoffs instead of two teams getting a bye. He just did that for more revenue. If Roger Goodell keeps going down this path where he's adding more games, getting rid of byes, and getting more teams playing, he's walking a slippery slope of a lockout the same way Manfred has.
Jackson? So make sure you get this through. So you're saying that even though he could be making a lot more money if he continues doing these things, he shouldn't for the betterment of the game.
Yes.
It's okay. It's okay. No.
It's okay. That's bullshit. Absolute horseshit. That's just spewing out of your mouth. Hypocrisy. You can explain.
So the reason Jake is so mad is because if you're a unique listener, if you listen to our episodes on a fairly
Unique means like one.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't use
that. Consistent bad listener. Verbiage.
If you're a regular listener.
Thank you.
If you travel back in time to our Super Bowl episode.
We'll just do a little
travel back seminar here. The cost of a Super Bowl ticket was brought up. Mm-hmm. And me and Jake made the argument that the cost should be
just from a little lower than
the Super Bowl stadium, not like someone buys them and then sells them for more. That's whatever. The Super Bowl itself should be selling them for just a tad less for some of the diehard fans us that have been waiting for this moment forever.
Because sometimes it's all right to sacrifice a little bit of profit for the betterment of the game, Jackson.
Especially when you're a billion-dollar business. Now, we made this argument. And then Jack just said what he just said. And Jake was just a little upset.
Yes.
About the hypocrisy.
And this happens often. Jackson, would you like to respond?
Well, yeah, you guys are taking it completely out of context here. Okay. Here's the deal here. With Roger Goodell and trying to find, like, he has to find the right line. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't just go and make as much money as he possibly can with no side effects, like no downfalls. He has to find a line to walk that maximizes the NFL's profit as well as keeps players in the game. With the Super Bowl, there is no fine line. The Super Bowl is going to be sold out no matter what the ticket prices are. There are no side effects, no down effects for the prices being as ridiculously high as they were. Granted, would it be better if there were diehard fans there? Yes. But as a seller of Super Bowl tickets, my job isn't to care about the feelings of the fans. My job is to maximize my profits and make as much money as possible.
And Roger's job is to do what the owners do, not care about the feelings of the players.
No, Roger's job is also bringing the most money he can. And Roger could also make it a 19 or 20, 21 game regular season, make tens to twenties of millions of more dollars, but he can't do that because players are going to strike and there's not a season there. So he has to find a line to walk between. These ticket sellers don't need to find that line. Jackson, they just need to make as much money as they can. That's their only focus.
It's the premise. It's just the simple premise that sometimes sacrificing a little bit of profit for the betterment of the game is what is great and what should happen. That's the premise.
Ideally, yes, but
no. But that's what you said. That's exactly what you said about Roger. That's what we're arguing, Jack. I don't care about the little details. The overall premise, you're a hypocrite about.
No, and I'm
you
not. Know it. I'm not. No, because Jake, this is where you're just completely missing the point.
I'm not missing the
point. You are missing the point. Roger Goodell.
Because I'm just saying overall, the premise, sometimes it is fine to take a little bit less money in order for the betterment of the game.
This is what you're
missing. Yes, that's good.
Because this is what you're missing. It's two different scenarios. There is no line the ticket sellers have to walk on. There's just not.
There are two different scenarios. And there's two different situations. Like I say again,
look, I am
the premise is the same.
And I agree with you on the premise. It'd be great if the It'd be great if the tickets were cheaper for the diehard fans.
If the premise is the same, then what are we arguing, Jackson? The premise is the same.
No. The premise is that it'd be great if it was cheaper for the diehard fans.
You just said the premise is the same, which means you're a hypocrite.
No. It'd be great if the premise was similar. So
now we're changing our words. So now we're changing our
words. Okay. No, but that won't ever happen.
As one of the fellow more
I get what Jack's
explosive
saying.
Members.
Actually, wait, I want to hear what Hunter's saying.
No, I was just saying I agree with Jack. That won't ever happen. It would be
because you agree.
Yeah,
you guys don't tell me that enough.
Well, if you said some more agreeable things, maybe we would. You okay, Jake?
I'm fine. It's just he doesn't.
Okay. He doesn't. I think the last thing we need to move on to, real quick, just touch on, is the Aaron Rodgers re-signing.
Yeah. The supposed trade or the supposed re-signing?
Most yes. money in a per year basis, I believe, ever.
Yeah. Is he worth it? Yes. Is it?
He's 38.
Is it smart? Probably not.
The Packers are so stuck up on trying to get him back that they will literally do anything.
So it's just they're just completely giving up on the first round pick and Jordan Love then, right?
They have to. He's gone. Sucks.
I know, but like
he was so bad. He was actually one of the only quarterbacks I looked at and goes, God, I think I'd rather have Baker over him.
Every episode.
He's not wrong. Like, I wouldn't have brought it up, but he's not wrong.
Jackson, if you were paying attention earlier, he also brought up the Baker thing.
So no, I did. I just chose not to hear it. Because that was like legit 2 minutes into the episode. I was not doing it that early.
But, I mean, it's just the same team if they bring back Aaron.
Yeah, the Packers are basically like they're basically saying they were completely wrong with the Jordan Love thing and just trying to say to Rod, Aaron, we were completely wrong. We're sorry. Please stay and have your boy Devontae stay too.
And here's some flowers and some chocolates.
Yeah. You know what the Packers are like? We're all Ohioans. Mm. And we all have been to Cedar Point. And
I'm so excited to see where this goes.
For all of you don't know, there's a roller coaster at Cedar Point called the Top Thrill Dragster. And sometimes on super windy days, they shoot the dragster up, and it goes all the way up 400 feet and gets to the top, and then comes all the way back down. And that is the hump that the Packers continue to try to get over and just never can. They are the roller coaster that gets all the way up to the NFC Championship
game. I thought this was the year.
And then just as they're about to go, they have some call, some play, some game that just doesn't go their way. And that's the wind blowing them back down to the beginning of the season. And then every season, I feel like for like the past, 5 years?
Yeah.
This is the Packers year. Stephen A. on ESPN. He's a bad man. That man is a bad man.
You can't listen to a lot of Stephen A.
Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. Aaron Rodgers is a bad man.
But like what else? Like,
but like it's just going to be the same thing. They're either going to finally fall over the hump and win a Super Bowl and look like absolute geniuses, or they're not, and it's going to look very bad for their future.
Because they have the same. When you look at the Packers, there's not like a glaring hole. The only thing that they truly need is Aaron Rodgers to play great.
They need a wide receiver too
in the playoffs. Yeah, they need a.
That would be ideal.
But they need Aaron Rodgers to take a page out of Tom Brady's book. Be a leader. Force your team. Like, if your team's not playing well, pull them ahead. Force your team to win and win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Jack, any final?
Yeah, final thoughts from everyone?
No, I was trying to figure out what, like, a T-test and a paired Z-test are.
What?
Okay, never mind.
What does that have to do with anything? Jackson
zoned out.
Hunter.
Not really.
Carter.
I'm shocked at how much NFL content we've gotten in the past, like, 48 hours.
Wait till our next NBA episode about Steph Curry. Carter, you want to give him a little preview?
He's pampered, period.
Wait till you hear my response on the next episode of Frenemies.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you later. Make sure to like and subscribe to the Frenemies podcast, whatever podcast platform you're listening on Spotify. Make sure you interact with our polls and questions on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you give us a 5-star rating. And if you really want to and have a chance on making it into our show, you can leave an audio recording on your take, opinion, and whatever you want to say. Thanks for listening.